Hey, I'm Charlie, and thanks for being here today. If you're already a subscriber to the show, thank you so much. You're incredible, and your support means more than you know. And if you're here for the first time, make sure you subscribe to the show, because today, like in every episode, I'm bringing you the most amazing, childless, child-free content on the internet that teaches you how to overcome those limiting beliefs you have about yourself and stop the self-sabotaging behaviors that are holding you back from embracing a life you deserve.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I am joined by a special guest today, Lexi Lee. She runs the Peace and Me podcast, which I will be returning the favor for her and guest starring on her show as well. So I'm excited to talk to her today about the child-free by choice space, which is something that on the podcast here, we like to show all situations, all types. Everybody has a choice, and that choice is the most important part of your journey, whatever that journey looks like for you. So welcome, Lexi. I'm very excited to get to chat with you today.
Thank you, Charlie. It's so great to be here and be on your show. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to start off, you and I had talked just briefly beforehand, and I know reviewing your show notes, you are child-free by choice. And I want to validate that for you because I grew up not knowing if I wanted to be a mom. It wasn't something that I had ever dreamed of as a little girl. I didn't have to be to feel fulfilled in my life. So even though I did go through a fertility journey, I do also very much resonate with the child-free by choice communities. I just want to validate that for you. And even though it's a infertility podcast, it's a safe space for everybody. And I really wanted to have you on here to get your perspective on what you felt like and how you came to that decision. So if you can just start with a little bit of your backstory. Did you always know that you did not want children, or at least biological children?
Sure. And thank you so much. Before I even go into any bit that I'm going to share, I do want to say that I hope that anything I share today does not come across as insensitive, because I do realize that although you have a lot of different people who listen to your show, there are those that have had infertility struggles. And I can only imagine wanting to have your own children and what a blessing that would be. And to not have that happen for you and your family has to be devastating. So anything that I do share, please understand it's my own experience. And I am not in any way trying to be insensitive to those who actually do want children. But yes, my journey is a little bit different. I always knew that I didn't want my own children. It was just something that I thought about here and there, maybe in different relationships, felt, oh, maybe that's what I want now. But I always felt like I could be a good mother, but I just didn't really feel this pull to have children. I always felt a pull to have a career, to be very independent, to travel, to do different things, but I didn't feel the pull of wanting to be a stay-at-home mom or wanting to be a working mom. I just didn't feel that. But it was a really hard thing, because even as growing up and now that I'm 40 years old, I'm almost 41, I always worried that I would regret it. I did worry that maybe one day I'll look back and wish I had, or when I do, or if I did wish that I had children, if I was lucky enough to have them, it'd be too late. And so that was always a fear. Am I ever going to look back and regret this? Or what's the future going to hold? But I can say at 40, almost 41 now, there have, of course, like I said, been a couple moments where, like my now fiance, dating him, where it certainly went across my mind of like, oh, maybe though, imagine having a family with him. He actually came with children. So a little bit of a different situation. So although, yes, I am child-free by choice, I am also a stepmom, which is a very unique situation. A lot of stepmoms in the world too. So I think stepmoms, we get each other. It's a very unique experience. But yeah, I just knew it just wasn't in the cards for me. And so I was very careful in my life, and because I didn't want to have to put myself in a situation where I might have to make a decision. And fortunately, that didn't happen. So here I am. Now just I have a cat. So I guess I'm a cat lady, but that's it. So almost 41 with a cat.
I think that sounds perfect. I grew up with cats and I have my two dogs and they're my fur babies, and I went through struggles, but I'm completely happy with where I'm at right now. And so I think that's completely fine. And I know you touched on your unique situation with being child-free by choice, but also being a stepmom. And was that something that you and your partner discussed, like the dynamic of that? And how do you find you navigate that? If there are other stepmoms out there who are in that same situation, can you share any sort of tips or tricks that might make it a little easier for them?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And if you are a stepmom, or even if you are dating a guy with kids or about to date a man with kids, it's a whole different ballgame. And those of the women who are listening right now, if you're in this situation, you know what I'm talking about. But I would just say seek support, because this is a completely different world and there's not a lot of information out there. I think I found a book. I found some other podcasts. I found different resources. I will say that I am now part of an offline community where I actually pay to be part of a kind of a private community to seek it's like a solution-based community to help others who date people with kids. But it was, my partner is actually 11 years older than I am. So when we met, I told him, it's funny, this story actually, I had dated men without kids. And that obviously didn't go too far. Although I was engaged one other time to a man without kids, long relationship, and did end that. And in the whole dating pool, dating is so hard. And I feel like when you talk to women about dating, it's so hard. And so after I had dated all these guys without kids, here I was on a dating app, flipping left and right, yes and no. And I wind up on this guy and he's got children. But I was getting tired of dating, didn't really think it was going to go anywhere. Swipe yes on him. And again, didn't really think it was going to go anywhere. But then the relationship started to snowball. It started to take off and we clicked and it was just great. And he's wonderful. And so then I thought, wow, now I'm in a new situation where I am child-free by choice, but he has children. So what do I do now? And so just to navigate that was a lot of learning. It's made me do a lot of self-growth, a lot of really trying to kind of balance my personal goal of not wanting to have children, but also now I have to be a figure. I have to be a parental figure. I have to support, love, and care for children that are not mine that I did not create. It's definitely forced me to do a lot of inner work to make sure that I show up 100%+ for them, but also satisfy that part of my life, which is wanting to feel like I don't have strings attached in a way too. So it's a little dance, a little balance. But when I first started dating my now fiance, I told him, I said, I don't want to have children. This is different for me. And I don't know where this is going to go. He was the first real relationship I had with a guy with kids. And yeah, and the rest is history. Now we've been together almost 4 years. We have a house together. And yeah, and that's kind of it. So the kids are a little bit older. They're teenagers. And yeah, I'm just enjoying getting to know them. And hopefully I'm doing a good job in their eyes. I hope I am doing the best that I can, but it's definitely been a different journey. One I didn't expect. I think a lot of women too, when they talk about dating a man with kids, you never think that's in your 5-year plan. It just happens because you fall in love with an amazing person. But yeah, so it's been this, now it's this new little dance of trying to play different roles and also find my part in all this as well, because that's been a little bit different.
Yeah. And I want to thank you for sharing that perspective, because it is, I think, very unique. And like you said, a lot of people don't, I think any of us really have our lives planned out, it doesn't go according to that. So we can all learn from some personal growth lessons. And I love that you actually found a community that, you know, even if it's behind a paywall, like, it's your people. And so that's important to feel supported and to feel seen and heard. So I would encourage people to also look into those options if you're just really struggling to find that tribe within your own in-person community or online. And one thing that popped into my head when you were talking, and it's because I am a child of divorce, and so I did have stepmoms and stepdads, but I wanted to ask you, I know for me personally growing up, a lot of my biggest mentors were women that didn't have children or women that didn't want children. And I don't know why, I just tended to gravitate towards them. And maybe it's because they didn't, that they had more time to devote to mentoring or being there for someone else as opposed to their own children. But do you feel that connection with your stepchildren, or do you think that or did you have that growing up? Did you look towards women that did not have children as mentors or as someone that you could go to and really feel heard and seen, if that makes sense?
Yeah, and that's such a good question. I think it's funny because I actually did. I had two former employers, two managers that were at a very high level, high executive level, that were people that I did report to, but both of them were older, very successful, and without children. And they were kind enough to let me get personal with them, which is a hard line to cross when you're in the working world of how personal do you want to get? Mm-hmm. This is a very sensitive topic, asking women about children and if they want them or if, you know, what's going on. It's that can get very personal quickly. And so with both of those women, they were both married without children, but they were both very focused on their career. And when I asked them, they said to me, we always knew. We always knew that we didn't want children or that I didn't want children and that they were focused on their careers. So I did feel a lot of, like you said, like almost like a mentorship. Like I thought they can do it, because I do feel that women are put into such a unique situation, because women are, we're doers. We make things happen. We take a lot on. We're planners. Like we can just handle so much. To have a career and to have a family. Some people have extra support with that, but a lot of times that's so hard on a woman because the maternal instinct and wanting to be there for the family and want to give their family 100%, then also want to give their career 100%. It's just, I don't know if there's enough time in the day. I respected their opinions on what they saw for themselves and felt really, you know, grateful that they were able to share that with me. That's the path they saw themselves on. But in its course, it's like I said, with my stepchildren, it's created kind of a unique situation because I've had to try to figure out where I really fit in, because my stepchildren do have a mom and their mom is very active in their life. And they adore their mom and she adores them, which is great. And obviously they have a dad, which is my fiance. So I let mom and dad be mom and dad. And from a lot of the resources that I lean on, they say that a lot of times these kids don't necessarily want another mom telling them what to do. They don't want another dad telling them what to do or to discipline. They already have one of each. They've got enough. So for me, it's been, okay, well, where do I fit in though? But it's good. I think I have the best of both worlds. I have the almost like a mentorship to them, I hope. I try to lead by a positive example. I try to help them with school and care for them, bring them to friends' houses, laundry. Like you do all these other things. But then when it comes to like actually the parent role, I leave that to dad. I leave that to mom. But that also lets me check out a little bit too. And that lets me get to go out with my girlfriends when maybe my stepchildren are at the house because they're with their dad. And now they get that one-on-one time that they're craving. And I'm getting that time with my friends to mentally check out and have my break too. So yeah, I think the best of both worlds for sure, but it's tricky. So again, if anyone who is a stepmom, I do actually have a couple episodes on my podcast, Piece of Me, where we talk a little bit about stepmoms living their best life. So there are a couple episodes there for you if you need some help, but yeah, definitely find your tribe, like you said. But I'd love to ask you, Charlie, you said that you were a child of divorce and you had stepmoms and stepdads. Did you find that the stepmom was easier, the stepdad was easier? Did you have a different bond with either one?
Yeah. And I was just going to share before you asked me that I do really appreciate your perspective and how you're handling being a step parent, being on the other side, being on the receiving end of that. And maybe it was the generation. I don't know. I think we've gotten a lot more nuanced with how we sync families these days, which I think is great. But in my personal experience, it was just trying to force a square peg in a round hole. And not that I didn't care for my step parents, but I think they did try to fill that role of my mom or my dad. Maybe it does work for some kids. I can't speak for everybody, but it didn't work for me. It just felt very abrasive and very forced. So I just really want to thank you for the way that you're handling it. And I'm sure that your stepkids appreciate that as well. But to answer your question, I think it just really depends how the parent presents the situation to the kids. I think, and I'm not going to blame my parents for how they did anything. I'm sure they were doing the best they could with what they had, but it was more of, I felt again, and I'm sure my brother would say the same thing. We felt like we had to find or were forced into this new family situation where we already had a family. And obviously we were unhappy about the situation that our family found itself in. And I will add too that both of my step-parents the first time around had children of their own. So that was another dynamic that was thrown into it. We had to all act like one big happy family when we really weren't. I really appreciate your perspective and your insight and your care around the situation, because I think it really does go a long way from a stepchild's perspective to not feel as though you have to see this person as your second parent. And I'm sure that I would have felt more of a pull and more of a familial relationship with my step-parents had they taken that approach and had they not been like, when you're here, I'm the mom. And when you're with dad, I don't know if I'm answering your question or I'm just rambling at this point, but that's my perspective on it from that of a stepchild, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And I appreciate you sharing that, because to hear the other side of this, because again, I'm just learning as I go, which I mean, that might be the case for most bio parents, just learn as you go. But when it's forced me to do a lot of internal work, I've had to really come into this with a different perspective, but it's refreshing to hear what you're saying too, being on the other side of that, of what you went through. And that's what I'm trying to avoid, is I don't want someone to feel, because I don't have the same unconditional love bond that mom or dad have. I think there's respect. I think there's love, but it's not the same bond that they have with their parents. And that's something that I always am very cognizant of that. And I'm very careful not to damage that relationship, but that's a dance in itself too, of asking them to try to hold the accountability, but also not damage what we've worked so hard to have at the same time.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think it really depends a lot too on the age of the kids when the divorce happens and the new step parents come into the picture and the relationships, obviously, too. It's a lot of dynamics that you're trying to tiptoe maybe around for a while till you figure things out. But my relationships with my step parents as a teenager versus now is obviously very night and day, because as teenagers, we're all pretty immature, I think, and can be mean. So I apologize to those step parents back then, but I do have a very good relationship with them now. And I do appreciate them for their role in my life and then in my parents' lives. I think it's just kind of those growing pains that go along with that type of situation. But I think you're doing the right thing. I feel like from a stepchild's perspective, what you're trying to do would be very respectful. And I would definitely have appreciated that as a stepchild. So thank you for doing that the way that you're doing it.
Oh, thank you. And I do have two teenage stepsons. So let me tell you, the teenage years are not easy. To your point, it is not easy.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And I want to go back to also when you had the discussion with your partner that you did not want to have children. Obviously, him already having children of his own probably was a different situation than if he hadn't. But how did he react to that? Was that something that he was very on board with, or did that kind of turn into lengthier discussions that had to be worked out, or how did that process go for you?
I think he was relieved, if I'm being honest, because he was older. When we met, I think he was 48, maybe 47. Oh gosh, I should know these numbers better. He was later in life, and he already had, at the time his kids were 9 and 12, he was in a different place in his life. So I think he felt some relief, but he had dated women with kids. And to your point of kind of growing up with your step parents having kids as well, that create, like you said, about the whole blending thing. And there's a lot of blended families out there now and increasing. When you try to blend, it's like, who's, for example, with him, with my now fiance, when he was dating, he had dated a girl who lived in a different town and she had a 12-year-old daughter. At that point, who's going to move to where? That relationship got serious enough. At some point, one of the parents is going to have to pull their child out of their school district, which isn't fair to that child because the parents are dating. Or maybe they decide to live separate and continue to date in their separate households. And that's an option too. It does create a hard thing. If you do decide to come together, what happens if the kids don't blend? So there's certainly, to your point, so many different dynamics here that I think there was relief for him. But I will say, when I was dating, and again, going on that dating app, I would ask guys almost just to see where they were at. I would just say, do you want children? When I had in my bio or my profile that I didn't have any, but I would ask them, do you want children? And some of the guys would say yes. And I would just right off the bat say, okay, I'm just not the girl for you. And that's okay. But I wish you well. And then some of them, I think if I asked that and they said yes, and I would say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not for you. But then they almost, like, it was almost like, well, wait a minute, I don't have to have kids. It was, and then I was trying to filter out, were they just saying that because they thought that's what I wanted to hear? Or did they feel pressure from society? That's what they're supposed to do. Or did they just genuinely want kids or genuinely not want kids? So there's so much to that. But I've always tried to be very upfront with people that it just wasn't in the cards for me. And if it was in the cards for them, I totally understood. But I just never wanted to mislead. I would never, just want to make sure that they're living their best life and I'm living mine.
I want to expand on that a little bit. On your podcast or just in your daily life, do you come across a lot of men that are openly child-free, not by choice? Or is that something that's still, I don't want to say taboo or gatekeeping, but I just find that I don't talk to a lot of men that are openly comfortable with saying that. And I think it goes back to your point of saying maybe it's a societal thing, because even as women, a lot of us are not comfortable sharing our parenthood status or what we want to be our parenthood status. But do you find throughout that dating process, did you find a lot of men that truly wanted to be child-free, not by choice?
That's a good question. And I was always, I don't want to say skeptical, but I was always wondering if their answers were genuine or if they were just telling me again, like what I wanted to hear, what they think they should say. It was hard to tell. But I will say now that I'm older, I'm 40, almost 41, I do have a decent amount of guy friends who don't have children. And I don't know if that's just how life went for them or if that was by choice. That's a really good question. But I actually asked this, so it's funny you bring this up. I work in corporate America, and one of my very high up supervisors has children. And one day just made a comment to me, something about his kids. And it just, he adores his kid. He loves his kids. But it was just how he said it just made me wonder, like, if there was something behind that. So I think we were working on a project or something. And I said, you know, I got to ask you a question. And I really was bold by asking him this, but I was curious. And I said, did you always want kids, or did you feel you wanted kids because your wife wanted kids? Was that always part of your plan? And he said, he goes, listen, he goes, I love my kids. My kids are amazing. He goes, I wouldn't trade anything. They're in my entire life. He goes, if I could go back in time, he's like, I might have changed that journey. And he goes, it's still a lot of work. There are a lot of work. There are a lot of time. And when you're trying to work and you're trying to do all the other things, it's a lot. And I was really surprised to hear that, because again, on the outside is this whole dad of the year, loves his kids, always posting pictures of them and talking about them. And so clearly there's a lot of love. But when people can be honest and when people can be real and raw, it is amazing what you find out. Because I think that if he didn't have children either, if that wound up being his journey, I think he would have been okay with that too, from what he was coming off. Interesting, but you're right. I really haven't gotten a chance to talk to too many to find out for men if that's kind of a choice for them too.
I think it's really important that, and I think it's really telling at how honest he was with you. And I really wish that men and women both, or however you identify, like, that they were honest about it, because it's okay to say that you aren't necessarily having a good time, depending on whatever your situation is. Obviously, you love your children and would do anything for them, like you said, but I think it's okay to have that conversation, that it's maybe you would have also been okay in a different lane, on a different path. And I think there's more taboo there with women saying that than there is with men. And one thing I wanted to talk with you about, and why I was excited to have you on, is because of this line that seems to come about, or this demarcation between the child-free community and then the child-less community, and how it seems like you're not really allowed to have your feet in both. There's a lot of gatekeeping there, it seems, especially on social media. Do you interact at all with the childless community, or do you get a lot of pushback from that if you reveal that you're child free by choice?
Such a good question. And I will say, before getting into this answer, that, you know, I do feel if you say you're child free by choice, people think you're selfish. And I think that's one of the worst things you can say about someone who's child free, because I don't think I'm selfish. I think I'm self-aware. I think I'm very aware that I would be a great mother. I have no doubt in my mind, but can I give the amount of time, as if I want to be a career person, if I want to do whatever, could I give the amount of time that I think is, children take a lot of time, and I'd want to give my child everything I can, my time, my energy, my love. And so I don't think it makes people selfish. And I just, that's one thing I've always heard. And it's bothered me because people say, well, I decided not to have kids because I'm selfish. And oh, that's the worst thing you could say. That's not selfish at all. You're just very aware. And there's nothing wrong with that. And even to the point where you could make the argument the other way around. When you say, this is nothing, I'm not making any attacks on anyone. When you see people who dress their child like them, like my kid's going to be just like me one day. But we don't say that's selfish. We don't say, wait a minute. We just think it's cute. We think it's adorable. We think that's wonderful. But if somebody says, I don't want to create or have someone just like me, instead I'm making a different decision, it's not a healthy one. It's considered selfish. I just think it's terrible. That's my two cents on that. When it comes to child-free, I will say that it seems like more and more I do find women who are child-free by choice. And there are, of course, childless, which in my own opinion, child-free is by choice, or childless could be they wanted to have children, but it just wasn't in the cards for them. But so a little bit different. I would say that those who are child-free by choice, I feel like they do come together in their own way because they understand. They don't have to explain themselves. They don't have to go through that whole thing of, I'm really not selfish, I swear. But it does bring people together. It does feel validating. And people have their own reasons. Maybe it was career. Maybe it was just, maybe they were a child of divorce. Maybe, and they just want to risk having a broken home in the future. Maybe that could be a possibility, or there's so many different situations. I just think that it's, there is some community in that. And as I've gotten older, people don't give me too hard of a time for it. I'll say that. I hear stories of other people and what they go through, and I can't imagine. I just say, it's just not right to do that to people. Or when are you going to get married? When do you have a kid? Just all these pressures that they put on people. And I think people have good intentions. I think people care. They're trying to show interest in our lives. But yeah, when it comes to the whole kid thing, it's thankfully, I think, past that point, but I don't get it too much anymore, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that is good. And I was going to ask you if and when you did get those kind of comments, like how did you respond to them? Because I know it seems like whenever somebody comments that they are child-free by choice or that they just don't have children, whether they go into their backstory or not, people are always like, oh, you're missing out, or you're going to regret that, or it must be so sad for you. And I think that's awful. Even for someone like me who did try and then just wasn't successful at it, I would never say that to a child-free mm-hmm. person. Just like you said, I would hope that they wouldn't say that to me, that, oh, you just were defective or something like that. But
exactly.
What do you say, or what would you say to someone who, if you made a comment about being child-free by choice and then they said, oh, you're just never going to know what unconditional love is, or you're missing out.
Yeah, that's such a great comment and question. I will say that I do feel not always safe really saying how I really feel when it comes to being child-free by choice, because people will come at you for that because they do think you are being insensitive. And that's why I opened up this whole conversation saying that. But it's because you can get looked at the wrong way. And again, if you are child-free, you get this, and you're probably like, yeah, you're nodding along right now. And you're like, I get it, I get it. But if you're not, you can look at someone like me and not like me for that one comment, that one decision I've chosen to make in my own life. So I will say that I notice myself being a bit filtered. Sometimes there's memes that come across social media about, oh, how I get to sleep on Saturday morning and not have to go to the soccer game at 7 a.m. because I'm child-free. There's those things. And sure, there are little laughs and stuff, but I don't get the same heart feelings when there's those cute pictures of babies sitting on Santa's lap or something. So it's different. I have my little things that I can relate to, and there's things I can't relate to because of my choices. It can be hard, but I am lucky people don't seem to bug me, because I think that wouldn't be nice. I wouldn't like that.
I did see one of the larger Instagram accounts I follow. She recently did a stitch where she was responding to some of those comments. She is child-free, but she was responding to some comments that people had made on a different post about missing out and you're going to regret that and things. And she was saying too, the same thing. Yes, I am going to miss out, so to speak, on some things. So parents are also missing out on other things. Maybe she gets to have more travel opportunities, or she gets to spend more time with her aging parents than people that are parents that just don't have the ability. So I think we just need to understand that we all make choices. And even if those choices were maybe made for us in terms of some medical interventions in some cases, but we all have gives and takes, and we all have different experiences. And it doesn't mean that it's not our experience. It doesn't mean that it's invalidated for mm-hmm. what we're going through. So, yeah, I just want to thank you for sharing that. And I do think people in the space, in the fertility space in general, or even within women's health, we do have to filter our responses sometimes because you're just never sure what kind of response you're going to get. And even someone like me who is now child-free, not by choice, I get backlash from both sides because I wasn't able to have children. So people in the childless community think that I should identify more as that, which I'm not saying I don't some days, but I choose to live my life in a more positive oriented direction. And so that just feels right for me. And again, I'm not trying to say that you can't feel a certain way or that you shouldn't feel a certain way, but it's just a weird place to be in. And it's definitely hard to be a woman of sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree more. I will say one thing, just going back to your question about what do people really say, I will say as a stepmom, the one thing I do hear, and again, if for the stepmoms listening, they're gonna get this, but people will say, if I were to vent, let's just say, oh, the teenage years are hard. Like I said that earlier in our conversation. If I share that with a non-step parent, a step parent seems to understand it because they understand this kind of interesting dynamic. But if you're not and you're a bio parent, let's say, they might think that, again, I'm being insensitive, but they might also say, but that was your choice. You knew what you were signing up for. You knew what you were getting into when you dated a man with kids. And what I've learned to say back is that just like when a parent has a child, oh, you're going to have late nights. So you're going to have nights you don't sleep. It's going to be a lot of work. But sometimes until you actually are raising that child, you realize just how hard it really is and how exhausted you really are and the toll it takes on your body and emotionally and mentally. But until you're in it, you don't really know. And it's the same thing in the step family life. Yes, of course I knew there were children involved. And that's why I continue to date him. That's why I continue to get to know my stepkids because I wanted to get to know them. But there are still things that, did I choose teenage attitude? No, I didn't. What comes with this phase right now, and we're working through it. But there are things that, yes, I chose this amazing man and I chose him and his children, but it's a different choosing. And I think sometimes people will put that back on you as, you chose that. You knew what you were getting into. But did I though? No, because I don't have kids. So I don't really know. I didn't have brothers growing up. So I don't know boys very well. I'm learning on the fly here. But that is something that is said a lot of times to stepmoms, that much I could add.
I get that a lot too with the fertility space. I don't think any of us really have any idea what we're getting ourselves into. We think we do, but it's your world just gets turned upside down. And so I think that's a fair assessment for any real life experience. Yes, you do have the textbook Cliff Notes version of it, but you don't really know until you've actually lived it. So that's a great point, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And to the point of what you're doing now, how did your experience and your decision to be child-free, child-free by choice, translate into your podcast that you have? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. They're not quite connected. Yes and no. I think I needed a creative outlet. Part of where it does tie in, as I mentioned on the Piece of Me podcast, I do have a couple episodes about trying to support stepmoms. And I actually have a podcaster who is all about stepmoms. So she had come on the podcast as well. But what I did find is that a lot of this journey over the last few years of being a stepmom has caused me, as I mentioned earlier, to do a lot of internal growth, a lot of self-development, and which I was already on a journey to do that. But this kind of, I think, elevated that time frame a little bit more. So having gone through this work and learning about myself, and I feel like I'm almost on the other side. I started my journey. I'm still a work in progress. Years ago, just trying to figure out the purpose of life and trying to figure all this deep stuff out because I can get really deep in my head. And to put in all this time and now again, feel like I'm on the other side of it, I feel like I have so much to share with people. So now with the Piece of Me podcast, and it's spelled P-E-A-C-E for peace, it's not just about me. It's finding that positivity, finding balance to live your best life. And with that comes being a stepmom. With that comes talking about self-care, with that comes boundaries and everything else. Being on that journey and having gone through so much work, it was my my decision to, well, let's create an outlet, because there's a lot of us that are just trying to figure this thing out called life. And whether it's dealing with infertility or blended families or breakups or divorce or death or whatever it is, this is a part of life. And sure, we can sit and vent about it and feel validated, or we can try to come up with different mindset shifts and tips and ideas to help each other through. Because again, I've never been 41 before. This is my first time being 41, and we're figuring it out as we go. So if I can create a space to help others and have great conversations like what we're having today on your show, and you'll be on mine, this helps everybody. And a lot of us, I think we just need to feel like we're normal. We need to feel like we're normal and that everybody else goes through this stuff too, whether it's relating to children, families, relationships, whatever it is, that we need a little bit of light sometimes in a very dark and noisy world.
Amen to that. And I love your podcast. I've listened to quite a few episodes now. It's very insightful, very supportive. So I love that, especially within the space that you're in. And we'll definitely put all of Lexi's links to her, get a hold of her and the podcast in the show notes. So I always ask all of my guests this at the end of the episode. And the question can relate to your personal life or professional. It really doesn't have a direction that it needs to go in. But if you were able to tell your 18-year-old self anything, one piece of advice, knowing what you know now, what would that be? What would you tell that girl?
That is such a great question. And I love this. I love that you ask this because, there's so much I would say. One of them, I think, would be just not to stress. When you're 18 or 17, your whole life is surrounded by who's wearing what brand of clothing, who's dating who drives a nicer car, whose parents make more money than yours, all this stupid stuff, all this superficial stuff, because that's your life at 18 years old. And you get so consumed by it. Now, fast forward, we live in social media where we're looking at all these things through a filtered and edited lens, and it's a little bit different. But same thing, we're still looking at who's doing what, and we're so interested by who seems to have it all together and whose lives are greater than ours and all that kind of stuff on social media. So I would say that, you know, at 18, I would just say it gets better. It's going to get so much better. And all the stuff that you're worried about right now doesn't really matter. And that you're also going to be changing who you were at 18. Or who you're going to be at 25 is going to be different than who you were at 18. And when you get to be 20 or 30, you're going to be different than the person you were at 25. And that's the beauty of it all. We learn as we go. And as you get older, they say you care a little bit less. And that is true. And I'm loving that part of it, of getting older. So you do care less. But yeah, I would just say hang in there. And when it comes to the social media stuff, just don't let it consume you. You should be the one consuming the social media at your own pace, but don't let it consume you, because it's almost like being 18 again and being so caught up in all the stuff that just doesn't matter.
That's so good. And I'm so thankful that we did not have social media when I was 18, because it would have been so much worse. I completely agree with, and I think that it's amazing advice. And I honestly would never want to be 18 again. I love the wisdom that comes with age. And of course, bad things have happened, but it does really get better with time. And yeah, you do start to care less, which is wonderful. And yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your show and what you do, because there's so much support that you're providing on your podcast for so many women out there. And it's such an incredible resource of what you're providing them and what you're doing. So thank you for the work that you're doing every day, sharing conversations and ideas and just the support that you do, because you're making a huge impact with that.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that. Now, where can people find you? What's the best way to reach out to you if they want to find out more information about your podcast or working with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again. I spend most of my time on Instagram. So the show, the podcast is called Piece of Me Podcast. So all the socials are going to be on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, also my website, but it's all Piece of Me Podcast. So the website is pieceofmepodcast.com, and then all the socials are going to be Piece of Me Podcast. So again, I spend all my time on Instagram for the most part. I'm learning this whole TikTok thing, although I feel like I don't know what the heck I am doing on there at my age. That's, I guess, the fun part of it. But figuring this thing out. Like I said, that's what we're doing. So come on over, join me, come take a listen at the Piece of Me Podcast. Charlie's going to join me as well. We're going to have some great conversations over there. So we'd be happy to connect.
I love that. Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing on TikTok either. I think I missed the boat on that one. But like you said, we're just over here winging it as millennials and beyond.
So true. So I mean, my cat gets more attention on TikTok than I do. And I'm like, okay, what does that tell me? It's more popular than me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. I would agree. And I'll just let it be what it is, because that's the world we live in. So
that's exactly right.
Thank you so much, Lexi. I really appreciate you being on the show today. And like I said, we'll put all of Lexi's connections in the show notes so that you can check out her podcast and get a hold of her. You're doing amazing things. And I'm so thankful that you were able to share your experience and your perspective with us on the Life Beyond Infertility podcast today. So thank you so much.
Charlie, it's been wonderful to talk to you and to talk with your listeners. So thank you guys, and hope everyone is healthy and well, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening. You're incredible, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button, because you don't want to miss next week's. And the other thing I want you to do after listening to this episode is this. Visit www.charliedice.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. Every week, I send you a short email that gives you actionable steps you can take to start feeling more like yourself again. You'll get things like stories from previous podcast guests, things they didn't share during the show, tips for navigating the workplace as a childless, child-free person, and conversation starters for family gatherings, and so much more. Check it out.